You know, it looks like we need to get schooled on tariffs. This tariff business with Canada is going to go on for a long time, it appears. And it's not something new. We've been through this with lots of other countries, and especially Mexico. So to learn about this process and how it goes through and what the end game is, let's turn to the man who sits as the president and CEO of the United States Mexico Chamber of Commerce. Of course, he's also Irving's mayor and has been for the last little over 3 years. Al Zapata joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Okay. Hi. How are you, David? Good to see you. Let's talk tariffs. Tariffs is not new. Tariff is another form. You can call it a tax. You can call it a levy. You can talk it about anything you want to call it. But the bottom line is it's usually used as an instrument to try to equalize the trade regime. And so there are times that it's imbalanced. One side may have a new technology that's really started to gain a major portion of the marketplace, whether it's technology or product or whatever. And then, of course, the consumer side will then try to balance it by using either tariffs or any kind I hate to call it a tax because the tax means it's based on a fundamental that's a very annual number you can deal with. When you're dealing with tariffs and trade, you're dealing with a ebb and flow of the marketplace and the consumer market as well.
But it's getting to the point where there is some sort of an accord, some sort of an agreement that seems to be the challenge. And I'm sure something like this that this was going on with Mexico, and I guess we'll resume again, can be very disruptive to this trade going back and forth between the two countries.
Yes, that's correct, Mike. David, what happens once you go into this tit for tat, let's call it, on 50% tariff on one side, and then the responses from the other side is, well, I'm going to hit you also 50%. The difference is where are they then applying it? Are they applying it to an actual product, or are they applying it to a form of service? What are they applying it to, and then how do you equalize it so that you balance the trade? And it'll always get to a point where balance will be based upon the consumer side of it and or the supply and demand side.
That's ideal. That seems exactly the way it ought to be. What we seem to be observing is this is beyond that, and it becomes a matter of politics and a matter of, you know, bravado and standing up to one another.
It can be that. Or it can be a working group, which you're seeing right now that's in its now and second year of discussions and negotiations, is what we call the United States-Mexico-Canadian Agreement, USMCA. This is the what I call the 2.0 of NAFTA that we did in 1993-94. And the whole idea was to pull together as close as we could call a free market between three nations known as Canada, United States, and Mexico. And the fellow that really made that happen and pushed it, and I was fortunate enough to be his senior advisor on this area, it's called NAFTA, was then candidate for President Ronald Reagan. And this is at the year 2000. No, take that back, 1980. And so with that, we were looking at a point of how do we then position, because he was a believer of free trade, but also free market between Mexico, the United States, and Canada. And so at the time he got elected as president, I was fortunate to be one of the people that was there with him as his senior advisor on this specific area. And so it was obvious that could we put it all together with one package? And the answer was politically, it wasn't ready to go with all three at one time, meaning nations. So the first trade agreement was between Canada and the United States in 1986. and then the rest got ready to then bring Mexico into it, and the politics then became, because of the political presidency as it was coming forward, in Mexico, it got to a point to where all three could get together. And they did it in 1993 and finalized it in 1994. At that point, you now have what's known as North American Free Trade Agreement, which was a treaty. Now, you then go forward and you have the USMCA, and now it's in its second 6 years. Right now, it's going through our review process. It's not complete. And so that impacts how we trade with one another, but it also impacts when you put tariffs on it.
So that's the point, I guess, is the tariffs. Was that anticipated? I mean, it seems like that's what's been layered on all of a sudden, is there these retaliatory tariffs on both sides.
Well, they may not start out as retaliatory. They may be looked at as trying to balance the trade imbalance. And we've had imbalances like with China for many years, and other parts of the world. And so what will happen is to try to balance it. Then when the politics get into it, then it could be retaliatory, where once a trade is put in a position where a tariff is levied, then there's a response. You have that right now between the U.S. and Canada at 50% of a levy of a tariff. Not on everything. Very specific.
And it's, well, at least not now.
Well, let's hope not ever, okay? But at the end of the day, what that does, it starts to then even up the negotiating table at that point. Because once you levy it, and I'm talking about the tariff, it may or may not try to bring it balanced together, or it may not. And at that point, the opposition or the other entity, meaning the other country, can decide that, no, I'm going to balance it or I'm going to be retaliatory.
So is this just an ongoing challenge with doing business internationally like this? I mean, you have all these members of the U.S.-Mexican Chamber of Commerce that are on each side of the border, and they plan on doing business. And they spend a lot of money putting in a plant that's going to manufacture and export, or it's going to hire people or whatever. How do you make a capital expenditure like that if you're not sure that you're going to be able to continue to do business in the way that you thought you would?
Two ways. Number one, the relationship in both countries has to be where we all understand, meaning the three countries, understand the legal framework that puts us in place. Also, the ability to transfer funds to then be able to do what we call foreign direct investment as well, but also the ability to buy and sell across border. That's what this whole idea is of what we're dealing with now, of this free trade agreement known as USMCA. We are going back through on a review process because, as an example, we have what's called rules of and certificate of origin. That means that we have set in place, the U.S., the Mexican government, as well as the Canadian, that for an automobile, 75% of all the development and the manufacturing of that automobile must come from one or all three of these countries that are known as U.S., Mexico, and Canada, not China, not somewhere else. And so that's where the debate is right now. Will it go up to 80% of origin for the countries that are part of the what we call trade regime, or is it going to go down depending upon what actually is happening in the marketplace of automobiles coming in? Example, why did I choose automobiles? The highest volume of purchase of automobiles right now in Mexico are Chinese manufactured automobiles. They're smaller and they're cheaper.
The effort right now seems to be to undo, I guess it was a Reagan idea, which I didn't really understand, it's NAFTA, is cooperate Mexico, Canada, the U.S., and do one trade agreement. And then USMCA pretty much does the same thing. But now what they're talking about is splitting this up. There's one agreement with Mexico and yet another with Canada.
No, that's, they may be discussing it. But they, with NAFTA and with the first USMCA, they all signed a pact, all three nations, that they would adhere to this trade regime. And that we would then have certain rules, such as the 75% certificate of rules of origin of the manufacturing of that. And so you have that in place. What happened with NAFTA, there were areas that were not part of it, but they were actually on a side agreement, only letter agreements. It did not mean that it was all part of the legal document. What do I mean by that? Sugar was one, a key one. Some of the agriculture. And by the way, when we did NAFTA in 93, 94 timeframe, the cross-border and the internet was not operating. Now we come forward with the USMCA that was done exactly 8 years ago. Guess what happens? Now you've got a different capability because you can cross-border both financial, intellectual property, which is not part of the original NAFTA. And so you look at all these bits and pieces. Agriculture, avocados, was not part of the original. So now you have all these starting to become part of this document. Now you go to this one that's being reviewed for the next 6 years. That's where we are right now. Now, obviously, tariffs impacted. And that's where we are also. So it's kind of an interesting game. I'm going to make a prediction. It'll come together. They will not fly apart like a flywheel. Why? They all signed a document that for the next 10 years, back when they did it 8 years ago, that looking forward today, they are in place for the next 10 years. They can't just fly apart.
You think there'll be an agreement? Well, and this tariff accord has to be struck, but it may not be after the midterms, for what we understand. Will there be an agreement within the next couple of years?
There'll be an agreement before the end of July 1, 2027. Because if they don't do it then what happens is you have to live with what you actually signed up to, the previous both NAFTA and the USMCA and whatever agreements. And by the way, they've already made agreements on this second go-around on certain areas. And now they're trying to finish out on the agriculture side, on the labor side, and on the financial transfer. Because as you well know, one of the biggest problems that the three countries are dealing with is the whole internet fraud, a movement of finance in particular, or money. And that's money laundering.
It's a fascinating subject. I hope that we have some resolution soon. My sense is we'll be talking about this again. Albert Zapata is the president of the U.S. and Mexico Chamber of Commerce. He is also the mayor of Irving. And the next time we're together, we're going to talk about Irving.
Great. I look forward to it because I'm now getting my feet on the ground after 3 months as mayor, and we're focused on. And I have a saying that I started with to kind of set the tune. Irving is open for business. Please come to Irving because we're ready to meet every and all supply chain individual company that wants to be part of our base here in Irving.
Well, I see the voters evidently agreed because you got 2/3 of the votes. For the rest of our conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.